We know the broadcast has been a blessing to you, and since it has, feel free to contact us at P.O. Box 3371, Pineville, Louisiana, 71361. Or feel free to contact us at
662-704-0630. Again, 662-704-0630.
And until our next broadcast, remember, the devil has not forced a chain that the power of God cannot break. Until our next broadcast, God bless you. From Bishop Kenny Townsend
and Minister Mildred Townsend.
Tell somebody, say, you stand. Yeah, Lord, yeah.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decision for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Well, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you all on this beautiful day that the Lord has made. Going to rejoice and be glad in it. And as always, again, you know, we always want to tell God's people to get ready. Get ready, because King Arthur is going to get ready to share a relevant word with you, with the teaching that he's been sharing with you since the beginning of the year. That's right, the kingdom principles that are designated to help transform your life. That's what it's all about, transformation. You know, I like his teachings because, let's put it this way, those of us that were once in the cocoon stage of our evolution, we were in the cocoon stage. And because we were in the cocoon stage, you understand, we were wrapped up and tied up in a lot of things. But you know what? One thing about it is, just like when that caterpillar goes into that stage, once he goes into that stage, he has to wait the process. And that's how it is with our walk with God. And as we're in that cocoon stage, you know what? God is molding us and he's shaping us and he's preparing us to be something more than what we could ever imagine. You know, now maybe you call it instinct, if you will. But I don't know if that caterpillar actually knows what he's going to come out to be once he spins himself up in that cocoon. It could be natural instinct that causes him to do that. And what happens is, when he goes into that cocoon, by the time he gets ready to come out, he has been totally transformed. And that's the way that it is when we live for God. Amen. Sometimes, amen, you go into the cocoon of a certain circumstance and situation of your life, and you don't know how you're going to come out of that thing. Yeah, you went in that thing ugly. You went in that thing fuzzy. But you know what? The teaching of God's word helps you to come out. And that's what it's all about. Amen. That's what it's all about. So, again, that's what King Arthur has been sharing with you all throughout the year. He's been sharing that. And I believe he's going to continue to share that. So I tell you what, until he does come in, I'm going to share a little something of his word with you already in Jesus' name.
His original purpose and desire for our lives. And not only his original plan and purpose and intent and desire for our life, but also how to function in it. And for the last 2 years, we've had on our broadcast, what we've done is just laid a foundation. And the foundation that we have laid is that all of the kingdom of heaven, everything that heaven consists of, everything that heaven is all about, your greatest heart desire, you know, to to live good and everything else in hopes that when it's all said and done that you spend eternity in heaven. You know, the specific message that God has gifted us and anointed us to come and bring to the body of Christ and to whosoever will is that great destiny that you're looking for in the sweet by and by is in the right here now. We've been laying a foundation, you know, and the foundation, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Thank you. You know, as we were saying just then, you know, we've been laying down a foundation, you know, and the foundation that we've been laying down is the gospel of the kingdom, the good news about a kingdom, you know. And as I always say when I come on here, boy, it's a tremendous honor and a privilege that God would use me and so many others across the face of the earth to begin to proclaim in these days and hours and years and months that we live in a great, great, the greatest story that has ever been told. And that's the story about God's original plan, intent, and purpose for your life. I always say that on this broadcast because that's our assignment. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom and make disciples of all men and teach them what I taught you. And that's the honor, that's the privilege, you know, to come on here and share with you what the Holy Spirit has brought to mind to in remembrance of everything that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ taught on this earth. He said, he come, boy, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the same thing, to do the same thing, to cast out devils, heal the sick, set the captive free, open blind eyes, unstop deaf ears, and cause the lame to walk. Listen, I say it again, you know, for the last 2 years, we've been on this radio broadcast, and we've been laying down a foundation. A foundation is what you have to build first before you can begin to erect a building. And all we've done in the last 2 years is just lay down a foundation. And this foundation that we laid down is a solid foundation. You know, Jesus said it this way. In fact, the prophet said it this way. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and a government shall be upon his shoulder. And of his kingdom, there shall be no end. But this foundation is an everlasting foundation. It don't crack. It don't falter. It don't fade away. It's everlasting. And if you build on this foundation, you're building on an everlasting foundation, and you're building more an eternal word, and you're building that in the hearts and lives of mankind all over the face of the earth, but that they can come on back into the kingdom of God, the governing influence of God, the power of God, the life of God, the Garden of Eden, the secret place of the Most High God, the kingdom of heaven. But you can come on back into that and begin to live your life as though you were already in the fullness of all that heaven has for you. Did you know that heaven is your inheritance? Listen, the Bible says this, come you who are blessed of your Father and inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. That's your inheritance. That belonged to us. And listen, an inheritance is in effect only after the testator dies. Listen, this will and this kingdom and this desire and this plan and this purpose that God has for our life, that went into effect over 2,000 years ago. Wow, the testator died. Who's the testator? Jesus Christ. And when he died, then the will went into effect. What will? The original will, the original plan, the original purpose, the original desire that God has for our lives, always had for our lives, always will have for our lives, or that will might go into effect, and that you can come on and get your inheritance. What's your inheritance? All of the kingdom of heaven. What's your inheritance? All of the kingdom of heaven. And listen, not only all of the kingdom of heaven, but you are heir of God. You inherited Almighty God, all his character, all his nature, all his attributes, all that he is. You know, you inherited him. And not only an heir of God, but a joint heir with Christ Jesus. But watch this. The Bible says in the book of Colossians, your inheritance is in light.
You have this inheritance, but it's in light. What you mean it's in light? It's in knowledge. Like we said on the broadcast last week, God said, my people are being destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Let me say it another way. My people are living far below their rights and privileges and who they really are and what they really can do and why they really here and where they really come from and where they really go end up at. Why? Because of a lack of knowledge. It's what we don't know. That our enemy, man, keeps stealing from us all of our inheritance. Our inheritance is in light. That word light, when you see that in the Bible, it means illumination. That word illumination means light. What light? That means information and knowledge. True information and true knowledge. Eternal information and eternal knowledge. What knowledge, Arthur? The knowledge of who you really are. The knowledge of where you really come from. The knowledge of why you really here. The knowledge of what we really can do. And the knowledge of where we're going to end up at. Listen, those are mankind's age-old questions. Age-old questions from the beginning of age. Well, who am I? Where I come from? Why am I here? What can I do? And where I'm going to end up at? See, your inheritance is in light. It's in that knowledge. That knowledge. That knowledge, what? Well, who you really are. Where you come from. You know who you really are? You're more than just Christians. You're more than just religious figures. You're more than just mere men and mere women. You're more than just religious people. We are the sons of the Most High God. We are the offsprings of the Most High God. We are masterpieces because we are a piece of the Master. We're a little piece of God. A little offspring of God. A child of the Most High God. That's who we are. The Bible says this, beloved, we are no longer servants, but sons. What? No longer servants, but sons. Sons of God. And if sons of God, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Who are we? We the sons of the Most High God. The offsprings of the Most High God. Same character, same nature, same likeness. Same function of building, same attributes of the Most High God, just like him in character and in nature, with the ability to live like him, to function like him, to talk like him, to operate like him, to rule and reign like him over our domain, just like he ruled over his domain. Sons of the Most High God. Where we come from? We come from heaven. That's where you originated at. If we come from God, and the Bible says, our Father, which art in heaven. Where he is, he's in heaven. That's his domain. And we come from him. So if we come from him, if we offspring from him, then more we were created in heaven. He made us from heaven. Our citizenship is not only on the earth, but man, we have dual citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. But it never was his desire for us to live in heaven for eternity. His desire for us was to give us our own territory so that it might be in our territory and the ability to rule and reign over our territory so that it might be in our territory just like it is in his territory. Where we come from? We come from heaven. Who are we? We the sons and daughters of the Most High God. Why are we here? God's original intent, God's original plan, God's original purpose, God's original desire for our lives is that through us he might extend his governing influence. What governing influence? The governing influence of his territory. Watch, it didn't say the religious influence. The governing influence of his territory. A government. That's why the Bible say, Isaiah said, unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government is up on his shoulder. He didn't come to bring religion. He came to bring, man, the ruling authority and the ruling influence of heaven. I ain't talking about the government of the United States and the government of all the different countries on the earth. I'm talking about the government of heaven. See, you know about our government, our constitution here in the United States and in other countries and everything else. You don't know about the government of heaven and the governing authority of heaven. You might know a little bit about it, but I'm talking about quality knowledge.
of the governing influence of heaven. Why are we here? To extend the governing influence of heaven from God's domain to our domain. What's God's domain? The heavens belong to God. The earth, he gave to us. Heaven is his territory, over which he has power, control, and influence. Earth is our territory, that he's given us power, control, and influence. For what purpose, boy? To set up the government of heaven. The same thing that's going on in heaven, the same governing authority, the same governing influence, the same governing lifestyle, the same governing laws that's in heaven, here in our territory, here on the earth. That's why we're here, to colonize earth with heaven. God's desire is that through us, he might extend his governing influence, not religious influence. That's what we established through church and Christianity and all those things. And they mean well, but that's not the original intent. That was his permissive will after the fall of man, after Adam and them got put out of the Garden of Eden. But his original intent was to establish his governing influence of heaven to earth. How? Through mankind, through his sons, through his offspring, through his children. For what purpose, Arthur? So that it might be here on earth, just like it is in heaven. That's why you're here. That's our purpose. Listen, wherever purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. In other words, you're going to abnormally use it. That's where the word abuse comes from. Come from two words, abnormal use or misuse, miss at the use. If you don't know your purpose, then you're going to miss at the use of your life. You're going to abuse your life. You're going to live like mere men and mere women when all the time, boy, we're the sons and daughters of the Most High God with all power, all control, all influence, with dominion. What's dominion? That's the right to rule, to manage, to dominate, to control, to have governing influence, boy, over your life, over every circumstance, every situation, every symptom in your life. That's dominion. That's the authority to reign in life. That's the ability, not only the authority, but the ability to execute that authority, the what? To reign in life. That's why when Bishop come on here, he say King Arthur. Right. That's what a king is, a ruler. I'm not talking about an earthly king. Earthly king rule over man territories and rule over people. Heavenly kings, men don't rule over people. They rule over, boy, their territory. What's their territory? Every circumstance, every situation, and every symptom in their lives. And what their assignment is? To help others, man, who live in darkness, who sit in darkness, see that great light. What? That great knowledge. Come to the revelation of that great knowledge. What great knowledge, Arthur? That you kings too. That you have dominion too. That you can reign too. What? Not over people, but over every circumstance, situation, and symptom in your life. Listen, that's what's been restored back to you. You know what Adam lost in the garden? Mankind lost in the garden? All of us lost in the garden when Adam ate out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We didn't fall from heaven. It's known as the fall of man. Because, man, we originated in heaven, but God came down to the earth and formed a body from the earth and breathed into that man's body the breath of life, and man became a living soul, man, with the ability to dominate and manage and control and rule the earth. That's our domain, not people, but over every circumstance, situation, and symptom in our life, no matter what it might be, good, bad, or ugly, the right to rule over all the sin that's in your life, the right to rule and manage and dominate over all the sickness and disease in your life, the ability and the authority to rule and reign, man, over poverty, over lack, over sin, over devils, over demons, over every circumstance, situation, and symptom in your life. That's the authority. And that's what you can do. The Bible said this way, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. What you mean all things? All things that pertains to life. When I say life here, I'm not talking about human life and manner of life and good life here on earth in the natural. I'm talking about, boy, Zoe life, the life of God. Life the way God lives and life the way God intended for you and I to live. What? Just like he lived. That's how he intended for us to live, the same way he lived.
What he do? He rule and reign over every circumstance, every situation, every symptom, boy, in all eternity, over everything. He gave us the power, boy, to do everything that he created us to do. What he created us to do? To reign in life, to rule in life, to be masters in life, to control in life. Listen, this might be far out there for you, boy, but let me tell you something. You know what we can do? We can make it on earth, just like it is in heaven. Say what? I promise you, that's the word of God. It can be in our life here on earth, just like it is in heaven. When Jesus Christ came with that government up on his shoulder, he established that. I told you, we lost our dominion and our sovereignty and our kingship. We didn't lose, man, our how can help me, Holy Spirit. We didn't lose God. One thing about your Father in heaven, he ain't never going to leave you. He ain't never going to forsake you. Even if you sin, boy, you say, even if you make your bed in hell, I'm there. He got a promise. I ain't never going to leave you, and I ain't going to never forsake you. In your sin and everything else, he say, I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to leave you in there. I'm not going to condone you in there, and I'm going to let you know the consequences of death. The penalty for death is death, separation from me. But even in that death, that separation from me, I'm there. That's what the Bible means when they say, "Well, you make if you make your bed in hell." That word hell, that means, man, even in the graveyard, even in death, even in spiritual death, even in physical death. Nothing, I'm telling you, nothing can ever be able to separate you from the love of God. Nothing. But boy, let me tell you something. You got to learn that. Listen, it's not enough for us to be saved. It's not enough for us to be born again. It's not enough for us to be Christians and whatever denomination that we might fall upon. That's all right, but that's not enough. That's just the beginning. That's not the end. That's not the destination. That's just the beginning. That's the start. Now that you're saved and born again and a Christian or a Baptist or a Methodist or a Church of God in Christ or whatever denomination that you might fall upon, that's just the beginning. Now that you come into the kingdom of God, man, you got to learn the functioning principles of the kingdom. All these things that I'm talking about that's yours, that belong to you, they don't just happen to us like ripe cherries falling out the tree. No, you got to learn the functioning principles of the kingdom. You got to learn how the kingdom operates. You got to learn the laws that governs the kingdom. You got to go on to receive the end of your salvation. What? Which is the salvation of your soul. Listen, your spirit has been saved. When you accepted Christ into your life and you believe in him, the work that we've been sharing about the kingdom of God and what he came to do, if you grab a hold of that and believe that, the Bible says, whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Let me put some water on that seed. It don't mean just believe in him, you know, but believe in who he is and why he is and what he came to do. Believe in, boy, what God sent him to do. What God sent him to do? God sent him to redeem our life from a destruction that was set up, boy, by the devil. And not only redeem our life from that destruction, that fallen nature, and living far below our rights and privileges, and living like mere men and mere women, when all the time we the sons and daughters of the Most High God. Listen, this, the work on Calvary was the redemptive work of God. What do redeem mean? Deem, D-E-E-M, mean to own. Redeem mean to own again. At one time, he was the Lord of our life. That's what Lord is. Lord mean owner. And then he lost us, boy, when Adam and Eve ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we got put out of the presence of the Lord. We died spiritually. I'm telling you, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Even though they died spiritually and God put them out of the Garden of Eden, yet God never left them. God never forsook them. Even when they was out in the wilderness, man, God couldn't be in them no more. But he was always among them. He was always around them. For what purpose, boy? So that man in the fullness of time, he could redeem our lives from this destruction, purchase us again with the blood of his son, the precious blood of his son, that he can become, boy, not only God, but the Lord of our life, the owner of us, that he might own us, that we might call him not only Savior, but Lord. Savior is a savior. Lord is owner.
He saved us so that he could re-own us, redeem us. And he saved us and redeemed us for the greater purpose. What's that? To restore back to us everything that we lost in Adam. What you lost in Adam? You lost your dominion. You lost your governing influence. You lost the governing influence of heaven. You lost the ability and the right and the authority to rule and reign over every circumstance, situation, and symptom in your life. When Adam and Eve ate off that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, boy, they gave the dominion that God gave them, the authority to rule and reign, the authority to fulfill their purpose for them being here. They lost that. Boy, your big brother Jesus Christ come, boy, and got that back for you. That's what redemption is. Pushes it back for you. Die for all your sins, man, and then, boy, cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. And then, boy, the most important thing through his redemptive work was to restore you back to, boy, your original place in God. What was your original place in God? Created in his image, created in his likeness, put in a carbon copy of heaven, put in a place on the earth where the governing influence of heaven was set up. What was set up? The governing influence of heaven, not religion. He didn't set up, there was no religion, man, as we know it, man, in the Garden of Eden. It was a governing influence. It was the governing influence of a king over his territory. What God did, man, was set up, boy, the kingdom of heaven, his domain, his territory. He set up a little carbon copy of that, boy, on the earth, on a spot, for a moment, on the earth. That's a delightful place with an open door into the literal presence of the Most High God. And from there, he told us to rule and reign in life, be fruitful, multiply, make the whole earth just like it is in heaven. In other words, like I say, hey, make it in your life here on earth just like it is in heaven. And when you become fruitful and multiply, that's productive. That's produce. Produce, man, greatness. Produce, man, the character and nature of God. Produce heaven on earth. How, man? Through your offspring, through you being fruitful. So when you have your children, they're going to take wherever they go and set up they homestead and their territory. They're going to be taking the Garden of Eden with them. And they're going to be taking the Garden of Eden with them. And every person that's born is going to be taking the Garden of Eden with them. What, boy? Heaven with them. So that eventually it'll be on earth just like it is in heaven. Doing what, boy? Setting up the governing influence. The governing influence. A government. He didn't kind of set up, man, a religion. I say that over and over and over. He kind of set up, boy, the governing influence of heaven back on the earth. I'm going to say it again. Listen. God, Jesus Christ, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, boy, to come and bring back, man, to what was going on in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 back to the earth. You know what was going on in Genesis 1 and 2? It was unbroken fellowship. It wasn't no sin. I mean, Adam, God, and his children were walking and talking in the cool of the day, and God was communicating with them. They were communicating with God, and they were setting up, watch this, not a religion. They were setting up a government on this earth. What government was they setting up on this earth, man? The government of heaven. The ruling authority of heaven. The governing influence of heaven. The kingdom of heaven on this earth. Boy, that's what was going on in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Well, boy, heaven on earth. And God was walking and talking with his family, his sons, the family of God, all mankind. And it was on earth, in that spot, in that garden, just like it is in heaven. God so loved that arrangement and that world and that pattern of operation and that system. He loved that so much that even though he lost it in Adam, he got it back. He lost it in the first Adam, but he got it back in the original Adam, the last Adam. He lost it in Adam and Eden broke a law. What law? Boy, the law of sin and death. Boy, when they transgressed God's word, boy, that law went into effect. What law is that, boy? The law of sin and death. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. And boy, we died. But like I told you, even though in death, God never left Adam and Eve. He was right there with them. Even out in the wilderness, he was right there among them. Never left them, never forsaken. Why? Well, he Father. Listen, Father is not just only the source of life, he's the sustainer of the life. If he's the source of the life, that means he's responsible for that life. He's responsible for everything that concerns that life, its well-being and everything else. Just like we as parents, man, at the source of our children. And not only are we the source of our children, but we're responsible for their upcoming, for their upbringing, for training them in the nurture and admonition, man, of God and what life is truly all about. Hey, listen, my children is not my neighbor's responsibility, even though they can assist me and help me, but that's not their responsibility. That's my responsibility. Listen, if my children get lost and everything else or come up missing, man, it's my responsibility, boy, to initiate, man, the search for my children. Now, my neighbors and friends and family can help me, but it's my responsibility to go find looking for my children. Like I say, he's not only the source of our life, but he's a sustainer. And when he lost us, he started preparing, man, for the restoration of his children. He started looking for us. The Bible says about the prodigal son, kind of same thing that happened with us, man. We got claimed independence from God and went about our own business, man. And then one day, boy, when you heard the good news, we came to our senses. And we say, boy, I got to get back to my father's house. Lord, same thing with us, boy. And the Bible says, boy, while he was yet a long ways off, his father saw him come, and he ran out to meet him. What you mean, boy? He when he saw him, why, he was yet a long ways off. Why? Because his father was looking for him, waiting on him, searching for him, man. With great anticipation, what? Boy, him coming back, coming home. The same thing God did, boy, with great expectancy and with great anticipation, boy. Looking for his son to come on home. That's why we've been on this broadcast telling you, boy, that we became prodigal sons. All of us straight away and went about our own business. But, boy, when Jesus Christ came preaching the good news that we can come home and what was reminding us of that boy, what was all in his father's house, the Bible says he came to his senses. And he said, man, even the hired servants in my father's house is doing better than this. He made a quality decision. He said, boy, I'm going home. That's why we've been on this broadcast for the last 2 years, man, sharing with you, boy, that even though you might be in a pig pen, I don't care. Listen, if you outside of the kingdom of God, you can be the richest man on the earth. You living in a pig pen. You can have all the things that you need. You can have all the cars, all the money, all the fame, all the fortune, everything else. You still living in a pig's pen compared to, boy, living in heaven on earth. And boy, one day you might hear this message, what? That boy, all of the kingdom of heaven, your home, where everything is all right, that you can come on home, that you can come on back into the Garden of Eden. David called it the secret place of the Most High God. Noah called it the Ark of the Covenant. God called it in Adam's day and time, the Garden of Eden. Jesus Christ called it in his day and time, boy, the kingdom of heaven. The prophets called it the presence of the Lord. And this is the message that Jesus Christ come preaching. Repent. What? Be prepared to change. Change what? Change everything. Change the way you live. Change the way you're living in sin. Change the way you act, change the way you talk, change the way you walk. And most important in order to do that is to change the way you live. That's his original intent. That's what the word repent means, to change everything. But that change begins in your thinking first. Why? Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you think you're just a Christian, man, you think you're going to, man, trying to make it in and trying to get to heaven, and that's what you're going to be, that's the direction that you're going to be heading in. But if you think that you're a son of the Most High God and that, boy, heaven has returned to earth and that you have been translated out of this world system, even though you're in it, you're not of it. Why? Because you've been translated out of this world way of doing things over into God's way of doing things, over into the kingdom of God, over into, boy, what God is doing. And what God is doing, man, he ruling and reigning over every circumstance, situation, and symptom in his life. And he's been proclaiming a good news to us that we were created in that same way too. And we lost that in Adam, and it has been, not gonna be, not might be, not wanna be, it has been restored back to you. What, dominion? What's dominion, man? The power to manage, to control, to govern, to rule, to reign over what? Every circumstance, situation, and symptom in your life. And listen here, this is the greatest one that we have to come to the knowledge of, even over sin. I'm going to say that again because that's important. The rule over sin. What's sin? Sin, listen, sin is not, man, drinking and smoking and going out and partying and having and stealing and killing and adultery and coveting and all that. Those are the results of sin. Those are what sin produces. What's sin? Sin, man, is rebel against the known will of God. To rebel against the word of God, God's will for your life. Anything that opposes, that's against, that's not like the perfect will of God for your life, that's sin. Anything that's not of God in our life, that's not absolute of God in our life, that's sin. You can't save yourself from that. That's why you need a savior. Why? Because the penalty for sin, the penalty for that is death. That's a law. In the kingdom, that's a law of sin and death. God told Adam and Eve, man, if you eat off that tree, man, you're gonna surely die. That's a law. That's a word of God. Adam and Eve ate off the tree. What happened? They died. What that is? That's a law. That's a spoken word of God, man. That if you eat off that tree, you're gonna die. They eat off the tree. What happened? They died. What happened? They separated themselves from God, from the source and from their sustainer. And what was the results of it, man? Then, man, we begin to live and die like mere men and mere women when all the time, baby, we the sons and daughters of the Most High God. With governing influence in our lives. What you mean governing influence? With the authority and the ability to reign in life. Over all the circumstances, situation, and symptoms in our life. It don't matter what they might be. You might be down and out, like we said last week. You might be up and over. You might be depressed, oppressed. You might be heartbroken. You might be lost and on your way to a devil's hell. Well, you come, boy, save you from everything that you need saving from. Everything. And listen, he ain't trying to do that. He's already done that. Listen, Jesus didn't hang on the cross and die for the sins of the Christian people, those who are saved. He died on the man. For everybody. I don't care who you are. Whether you're Christian, whether you're Muslim, whether you're Buddhist, whether you're Hindu, whether you're atheist, whether you're black, white, Japanese, Oriental, whatever, all mankind. The penalty for sin for all mankind has been paid in full. But just because it's been paid in full, that don't necessarily mean it's going to just operate in your life. You got to come to the knowledge of that. And not only come to the knowledge of that, but believe that. And not only come to the knowledge of that and believe that, but begin to apply that to your everyday life. Line up on line, precept upon precept. Little by little by little. Being transformed. How? By repenting. What's repenting? By the renewing of your mind. For what purpose? So that you can, man, prove, or so that you can manifest in our lives here on the earth the good and perfect will of God for our lives. What's the will of God for our lives? That it be on earth, in our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. That's his original intent for our lives. That's his original desire for our lives. That's his original plan and purpose for our lives. And even though it might not be that way in manifestation on the earth right now, today in our life, that don't alter what God's desire and plan is for our life. Listen, his desire and his plan and his purpose are going to prevail. Even if it ain't like that way in this fullness right now, baby, it's on its way to being that way. It's becoming that way. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven has been restored. And we becoming who God created us to be. Not religious people. Who he created to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. What he created us to do, to rule and reign on the earth. Why he gave us the ability to rule and reign on the earth, so that we could take that dominion and make it in our lives here on earth just like it is in heaven. The problem is, man, you lost that in Adam, and it has been restored back to you in Jesus. But the problem is, man, now you got to learn that. You got to grow up in that. You got to come to the knowledge of that. Let me paint a little picture for you. Imagine this. A king, a mighty king, a great king, has a son. And at birth, his son was kidnapped and taken from his kingdom, from the domain that he was born in, and brought to a whole nother kingdom and another domain. And he grew up, man, in another kingdom, in another domain. And he grew up as a mere man or a mere woman. And he lived and died like a mere man and a mere woman. When all the time, he was born royalty. He was a peculiar person, a chosen generation. He a royal priesthood. He's a little king too, but he don't know that. Why? Because he was kidnapped. And he was kidnapped. Say for instance, you know, if he was, for instance, I just use it for illustration. The king of England had a son. And then as soon as his son was born, he was kidnapped. And he was kidnapped, man, and he was brought, man, to one of the poorest nations on the face of the earth, man. Where there's poverty and lack and drug infested and gangs and killing and robbery and racism and all the things that are going on up on this earth now that we encounter, pandemics, sickness and disease, global, all the things, everything. And he was born and raised and conditioned and trained to think according and to live according to that world that he's living in now. And he don't even know that he was born a king. So he grew up, man, living like a mere man and a mere woman. When all the time, he's royalty. But he don't know that. And then the king find out something, boy, hear the news and find out, boy, where his son at, that he's living, man, in a foreign territory, in another country, like a mere man and a real woman. And then he send, boy, his original son, his oldest son, to go and get his lost son. And, boy, when his son comes to the poorest country in that nation, in that world that he's living in, and find that son, and he begin to tell him, listen, who he really is, what he really has, what he can really do, where he really belongs. And, boy, that's foreign to his ears because he don't know he a king. He don't know he a ruler. He don't know he's the offspring of a king. He don't know he don't even know how to live like royalty. All he know how to live is like civilian life. You don't know nothing about kingship and kingdom authority and kingdom rule and kingdom government. So his brother come and get him, and then take him back to the kingdom and show him all the splendors of the kingdom and say, this is your inheritance. This is the way you were created to live. This is the way you were born to live. But you lost that. You don't know that. All you know is natural life. So, but I'm going to bring you back to royal life, into that domain, into that territory, back to the kingdom. But when he come back into the kingdom, he don't know how to live like that. The Bible says so. He's under governance and tutoring. In other words, boy, he got to learn now the functioning principles of the new world that he's in, the kingdom. He got to learn how to live in the kingdom. He got to learn how to talk in this new territory that he's been restored to. Where in that territory, he's a reigning king. So he got to learn the functioning principles of it. It's the same thing with us. We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness. Same thing when we were born, man, we were born separated from God, kidnapped by the devil, and brought up to and trained and conditioned to live according to the dictates and the circumstance and the situation of this old world system that we live in, whom the God of this old world system is the devil, called a prince of darkness, who set up this earth here in the arrangement and the pattern and the worlds, all of the worlds that's upon this earth, man, is set up and influenced and controlled by the devil. Listen, not only the evil in it, but the good in it too. Listen, in this world system, there's some good in it too. It's not only just all evil, there's some good in this on this earth in this world system.
But Adam didn't just eat off the tree of the knowledge of evil. They ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So in this world system, it got some good in it too, but the good in it is a deception. Just enough good to cover up the evil so that you don't see the evil. You go after the good in it. And all the good things that we try to do upon this earth, and all the great things that we try to do upon this earth. It's a good thing to try to provide men shelter and home. It's a good thing to try to feed the homeless. It's a good thing to try to get our the gains and to get our children. All those are good things. Good life and everything else, trying to do the right thing. Those are good things. But, man, that just cover up the evil hook. What's the evil hook, boy? In this world of good and evil? The penalty for it, living in this world is death, separation from God. So when Adam, man, we come back and find out the good news, and Jesus Christ did the same thing, come down to this earth, come down to the territory that we were conditioned and trained and brought up to live in, and this world system that we live in, come down to this earth, man, and reveal to us who we really are, where we really come from, what we really have and what we really can do. And where we really going to end up at. And then take us back into that place where we was kidnapped from. But when you take us back there, like I say, you don't know how to live like that. You don't know how to live according to the governing influence of that place. Because you've been trained and brought up to live according to the governing influence of this world system that you were kidnapped or born into. Well, when Jesus Christ come, boy, he come to redeem your life, like I said earlier, from that destruction. Restore back to you your royalty, your sovereignty, your dominion, and then, boy, write your good God Almighty. But now the first thing that takes place once he bring you back, this is what you have to do now. Now that you're saved, like I say, that's just the beginning. He saved us from that old way of living. Now that you're saved and been restored back to your royalty, your kingship, and your governing influence over your territory, now you got to learn how to live like that. You got to learn how to function like a king, how to talk like a king, how to live like a king, how to operate like a king, how to be like a king, because that's who you truly are. You lost that identity, but that's been restored back to you. That's why I say, boy, we come on this broadcast to share with you at first, boy, that good news. What good news? That everything that you lost in Adam, everything that you were kidnapped to and held bondage to under the beggarly elements of this world system that we live in here on this earth, that we've been trained and conditioned to think and operate according to, well, he come to get us out of this world. Even though we're in it, but we're not of it. And translate us over into the kingdom of God, dear son, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. That's what my desire has been for the last 2 years. That through the message that God has used through this broadcast to share with you, that you would do like the prodigal son. Come to your senses and say, man, there's a kingdom. You mean to tell me the kingdom of heaven is available to me? And all the royalty and the sovereignty and the dominion and the governing influence of heaven is available to me? That in hearing that good news, Lord, that you will come on into the kingdom. It don't cost you nothing. All you got to do is find out about it, man, and then, man, make the decision to come into it. Listen, there's a law in the kingdom, man, called a perfect law of liberty. When you hear this good news, man, you're free. You can make the choice, man, to receive it, to believe it and receive it, or you can make the choice, man, to disbelieve it and neglect it. You can make the choice to come on into the kingdom of heaven, or you can make a choice, man, to stay out in the pig pen like the prodigal son. That it's called a perfect law of liberty. God gave you free will. He said, I set before you blessings and curses, life and death, abundant life and just natural life. But then he say, you choose. And then he gave us some insight on it. And he say, listen, choose the life, not the death. Choose the blessings, not the curse. Choose the kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom of the world that we live in. Choose death. Even though I'm giving you good advice and what to choose, yet there's a perfect law in the kingdom of liberty. You can choose either one. He told Adam, man, you, all the trees in the garden, you can freely eat off any tree in the garden. That's liberty. But if you eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're going to separate yourself from me. You're going to die spiritually. You're going to be separated from me. But you got to give your free will. You can eat off any tree. That's a law in the kingdom, the perfect law of liberty. He said, I said before you life and death, you choose. I said before you blessing and curses, you choose. I said before you men salvation, man, and eternal damnation, you choose. I said before you all of the kingdom of heaven, man, and tell you that that's in your inheritance. And I said before you, boy, the kingdoms of the earth. You choose. That's liberty. That's the perfect law of liberty. For my desire and our desire, my family and my wife and my children and everything, our desire, boy, that you make the quality decision, the quality choice, what? To choose life. To choose the blessings. What that said? That's in the kingdom. Because the life and the blessing that's in the kingdom, that's freely yours. That freely belongs to you. You have that. And when you choose that, man, that's what it's been for the last 2 years on this broadcast, that you would, man, receive your free gift of salvation, that you would receive your free gift of righteousness, that you would receive your free gift of eternal life, that you would receive, boy, the free gift of the Holy Spirit, that you would receive the free gift of Almighty God, all the gifts of God. And then once you receive them gifts, then it's not enough to receive the gift, but that you open up the gift. And that, boy, you use the gift, and that you handle the gift, and that you possess the gift, and that you play with your gift, and that you open it up and see what's yours and what belongs to you, and use that gift. That's what we got to do in the kingdom. That's what we're going to be doing for the next year. And this next year coming, what? Is to show you, man, that now that if you receive the gift and you come on into the kingdom, listen, that's just the beginning. Everything don't just happen to you, man, just because you're in the kingdom. Now you got to learn, man, the functioning principles of the kingdom. That's why Jesus came to bring the kingdom, but he taught for 3.5 years how to live in the kingdom, how to function in the kingdom, how to walk in the kingdom, how to talk in the kingdom, so that you could get everything that's in the kingdom that belongs to us. Oh, it's sad to say, but the only thing we've been taught, man, is religion. But you haven't been taught the governing function and principles of the kingdom. You know the laws that God gave the children of Israel out in the wilderness. You don't know the laws that God gave to mankind in the Garden of Eden. What laws are that, Arthur? That's the law of life. That's in Christ Jesus. That's the law of the word of God. That's God's word. That's God's original word that he spoke. That's a law. And it's the law of life. When God say, let's make man just like us in our image and our likeness, I don't care what happened after that. You can't alter that word. That ain't going to, listen, you can't nullify that word. That word going to be. That's a law of life. What's the law of life? The spoken word of God. What he say going to be. And boy, he say, let's make mankind just like us. And let's give them dominion over all the earth. I don't care what happened after that, man. Let me tell you something. That word right there is the word of life. And that word going to be. And that word will change, like I say, darkness into light. That word will change, man, everything that's going on in this world that's not of God into everything that's going on in the kingdom of God that's of God into our life. What? That's the law of the word of life. Hey, listen, how you live that kind of life that Jesus Christ come to bring us, man? By faith. What's faith, man? Faith is more than just believing God. Faith is believing God to the point where you begin to act on the law of life, act on the word of God, act on the living, spoken, incorruptible, indestructible, living word of God. Act on it. Apply it to your everyday life. Applying it to life. Not just observation of it, seeing what it say and coming to the knowledge of what it say, and not only the interpretation of the word, understanding what it say with a real little revelation, but the third and most crucial part of it, what? The application of the word of God. Listen, there's three stages of the word of God. Observation, you got to first see what it say. Observe what it say. Come to the knowledge of what it say. Then there's interpretation. Then you need some clarity, some understanding of what he say. Some revelation of what he say. That's why he give you apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists. What? So for the perfection of the saints. For till we all come to the unity of the faith. For the work of your ministry. So that you can have clarity and understanding of what God is doing. And then the third and most crucial stage, boy, is the application of the word. That we might begin to apply to our life. That's what wisdom is. the applied word of God to our lives and the results that comes from that. The results that come from applying the word of God to our lives. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And all you're getting, get an understanding. Why? So that you can apply it effectively to your life. Because in applying it effectively to your life, that's when more of the manifestation of it start coming. How I apply effective for my life. Now that you're in the kingdom, now, boy, like I say, we finna learn how to live like the kingdom. We finna learn how to walk in the kingdom. We finna learn how to talk in the kingdom. Listen, there's another law in the kingdom, man, called a law of love. It's the royal law of the kingdom. You got to learn how to love the same way God loved, unconditionally. And the only way you can love that way, God got to first love you that way. And you got to experience God's love for you that way. And that love that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, for what purpose? So that we could love one another the same way God loved us. So that we could look past one another's faults and mistakes and see their greatest need, what? To love one another, man. To love them, man, with the love of God. The same way God loved us. Same way he looked past all our faults and mistakes and saw our need. What was our need? To be loved unconditionally. It's the love of God that draws me into him. It's the goodness of God that draws me into him. It's the love of God that covered all our faults and mistakes and everything else. That's a law in the kingdom. Living that, loving that kind of way. I'm not talking about loving somebody, man, according to if they do good to you and you love them that way, or the way we know how to love. I ain't talking about that love. I'm talking about the agape love of God. I'm not talking about the way a husband loves their wife and the way family loves children and everything. I'm talking about an unconditional, everlasting, eternal love, man, that looks past all faults and mistakes. Don't condemn, convicts, but never condemn. And boy, I'm talking about just keep on loving for all eternity. That's a law in the kingdom. In the kingdom, you got to live that way. You got to live according to that law. And if you live according to that law, the law of love and the law of faith and the law of life and that law, that perfect law of liberty, being able to make the right choice and the right decision given, man, because of you have the quality and knowledge that you need. And not only that, boy, but the law that gets everything from the kingdom of heaven, the unseen realm, and to the kingdom of heaven on earth, the seen realm. And that's a law of sowing and reaping. You got to learn how to start sowing the seeds of the kingdom in your life. You've been sowing the religious seeds in your life. And you've been sowing natural seeds in your life and everything else. But when you begin to sow the seeds of the kingdom in your life, guess what? Be not deceived. God not mocked. Whatsoever man sow, that's what he going to reap. When you begin to sow the seeds of the kingdom, what's the seeds of the kingdom? Not just the good news about Jesus and not just the good news about what Jesus did, but the good news about what Jesus preached. This is what he preached as I begin to close. Repent. What? Be willing to change your whole philosophy, your whole way of doing things, your whole way of seeing things, your whole way of talking, your whole way of living from that old sinful life that you've been born and conditioned and trained to live in, man. To a whole nother way of living. Living in the kingdom. Where, boy, all your sins are forgiven. Where everything is all right. Where you have power and governing influence over every circumstance, situation in your life. How to plant the seeds of the kingdom of God in your life. How to live in the kingdom. Now, as if you was already there. Listen, y'all. We got a lot to learn. Boy, there's a lot on the inside of me. Boy, so much on the inside of me. And boy, I just have one desire, and that's to help you come to the knowledge of God's will and God's purpose and God's intent for your life so that it might be in our lives here on earth just like it is in heaven. Listen, you live according to God's will. You come on into the kingdom. That's our greatest desire. Come on in. Come on home, prodigal son. Even if you're in the church, man, you're still not in the kingdom. Come on home, prodigal son. Your father has a robe for you, the robe of righteousness. Your father has a ring of authority for you. Your father has a life more abundantly for you. Your father has royal life for you. That's your inheritance, all of the kingdom of heaven. And all you got to do is come on home. And then when you come on home, now start growing up and learning. Start inclining your ear to the word of God. Start seeking first the kingdom of God. Start, man, learning, man, of him, man. Hey, listen, I got to go. As soon as I get to the best part, boy, that's where my time. It's over with, but you stay tuned. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LeBain. We at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry would like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to serve you and your family. We trust that the messages on these broadcasts has been a tremendous blessing to your life. We pray and speak the blessing of God upon your life. And if we can be a further service to you.